What's going on, people? Welcome back to my podcast, The Mastery Sessions. And this podcast, we've got Halim again. We're going to be speaking about something real, about something raw. This podcast was not scripted. It was just us speaking on the phone. We're like, you know what? Let's jump on a podcast and talk about this. Talk about our struggles with social media. So yeah, I hope you enjoy.
In this episode, I've got Halim. He's back. And in this episode, we'll be speaking about the struggles, our personal struggles with social media and our thoughts in general. So yeah, mate, we're going to start off by really how we met. I know we said before how we met, but I feel like it's really good that we did meet. I know it was a weird way we did manage to talk to each other on social media, but how do you think we actually first managed to talk to each other, like, on social media?
Yeah, well, I suppose we spoke about this last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
About how there's not many young people spreading positivity on social media. So I think, definitely, like, it was quite cool that we did meet and quite, you know, yeah, it was quite good that we did meet. But I think that's an important point, isn't it? That when we're talking about social media, like, regardless of whether we're talking about positives or cons, like, me and you literally met on social media.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it does have some really big benefits, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely has major benefits with social media, but, like, everything in life, I know we spoke about this before recently, but everything in life has its major benefits and it does have some negatives, and that's with social media as well. I feel like if you want to build a business, if you want to build a personal brand, if you want to serve in general, social media is a great platform, but then again, if you fall into the trap and what I call become a zombie and you're scrolling through all day and you're comparing yourself to other people, that's when it gets dangerous. And that's like anything in life. If you go around life comparing, if you go through town, walk through town, you're comparing yourself to mate on the other side of the road who's got some nice shoes on or something like that, you're not going to feel good, are you? And it's just multiplied on social media because everyone just shows their best life. Do you know what I mean? No one shows their struggle, or, do you know what I mean?
Well, that's it, mate. Do you think this is an issue you have? Like, do you personally, like, compare yourself to other people on social media? And do you think, like, it does have a negative impact on you personally?
Mate, 100%. I mean, I don't think we would be human if we didn't fall into a trap of comparing yourself sometimes. I mean, obviously there's extremes. I'm not out here every single day comparing myself, but obviously you fall into a trap sometimes of, like, you might see something and be like, oh, he or she's doing really good, I wish I was doing that. That's just normal. But I think whenever I do catch myself falling into that trap, I really try to disconnect. And how I disconnect is, let's say I'm following someone and I get that feeling of I'm trying to compare myself or something like that, I unfollow them straight away because I just don't want that feeling. It begins to drain my energy, and that's not what I want. If you, like me and you, we want to make an impact, I believe. And I feel like we are making our own impact in our small way, and it will grow. I truly believe that if we stay consistent. But yeah, mate,
I think you make a good point, mate, that, like, you know, humans naturally will compare ourselves to people. Yeah. Like, when you walk down the street, you see someone and, you know, you see a good couple, you see someone wearing some nice shoes or a nice car, and automatically, like, you do compare yourself to that person. But I feel like this is one of the issues I've got as well, is that with social media, it's constant, and it's you're constantly comparing yourself to people. And, like, when you walk down past someone in the street, okay, you get a quick glimpse of them. But, like, you might see, okay, like, they got nice shoes, but, like,
they
walk a bit funny. Or, like, okay, they got, like, their girlfriend's really attractive, but, like, I don't know, she's got some, do you know what I mean? Like, some bad thing. And then you think, okay, like, there's some rationale. But on social media, all you see is literally the best parts of people's lives. And sometimes it's not even a real part of people's life.
No.
Like, it's a fake part of people's life that they've photoshopped and it's like a quick snippet. And it, like, especially how much time we spend on social media now, I think it's comparing, but, like, to the extreme. And I think it does have a really, like, negative effect on you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for those who are listening, we are not out here to demise, I don't know if that's the right word, or put down social media. It's a good platform, but we, like everyone, we do compare. And I feel like we don't just compare ourselves to people who are succeeding. I sometimes catch myself, and everyone catches themselves, compare themselves to someone who's not doing so well. They'll see someone who has less followers than them or less impact and be like, okay, I'm good. Okay, I'll compare myself to them. I'm good. Yeah. I've got more than them. I'm okay. And then you look in front and you see people with millions of followers. And for me, when I look at people with millions of followers, I actually don't get that. I don't compare myself that much. I only really compare myself when I'm around people around the same followers and like they're still trying to grow in their impact. I don't know why. It's not like I'm never bitter. I'm just like, I want to be doing that. I want to be the best at what I do. I don't know about you, mate, but
yeah. I suppose that's probably because, you know, like with celebrities and stuff, although you almost fantasize, don't you? It's like a fantasy sort of comparison.
Yeah.
But do you think, like, when you are comparing yourself to other people, do you think, like, there's a sense of jealousy there? Like, do you feel that when you're seeing someone else who's doing well? Like, do you feel, like, a bit of jealousy there?
I wouldn't say jealousy, because I feel like I would never want for them to lose what they have. I feel like jealousy is when you look at someone and you want them to lose everything. Let's say I went to someone's page and I was like, seeing that they got 1,000 followers, they got major impact, I would never want them to lose that. But what my situation is, I'm like, why can't I have that? Do you know what I mean? Why can't I have that impact? Or why am I not having that impact? I never want them to lose that. I'm happy they've got that, but it's like, I want that as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I the way I see jealousy is I don't see it as like you want them to lose it. I see it as, it's almost an indication that like you want that, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And I think like comparing, although it has so many negative like effects, especially when you're comparing yourself to people on a daily basis, like it is really bad. But like the odd comparison and the odd like comparing yourself to people, it actually can show you like what you are aspiring for and what you want. So I think like occasionally it's all right to have a quick look on Instagram and to see a few people that are doing really well, because it can actually show you like what you want to achieve, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've ever found that.
I mean, I think it's something we've heard as well. It's called role modeling. I mean, I don't know if that's comparison, but you're in a way you are trying to compare yourself. You're trying to be like, not be like them, but you're trying to follow their footsteps in a way. So yeah, I feel like there is always benefits with comparison. Like, I feel like a healthy comparison would be comparing me. I know it's cliche. And I'm not saying that I do this. I'm perfect. No way. But what I feel like a healthy comparison would be comparing yourself to yourself last week or the month before, because everyone's on their journey. Do you know what I mean? Imagine I start comparing myself to Jay Shetty. I know we love Jay Shetty. Imagine I start comparing myself to Gary Vee or a billionaire. Like, you forget that when they were 18, 19, they were in the same situation. They were on their journey. They, like we were speaking about before, Halim, is Jay Shetty, when he was like 25, 26, he was posting one times a week on Sunday. It took him 25 hours to create one video. The video was all right, but it wasn't amazing like they are today. Do you know what I mean? We forget that it's a journey, it's a process, and we want it right now. I think that's what we're like. We us as humans, especially in these times, we want things straight away. We are impulsive. And if we don't get it, we become anxious. We worry. We're like, oh, how come I don't have this now? And all this madness. But I think we just need to compare ourselves to how we were yesterday. And I know it's cliche, but I feel that's the only way to stay content and really grow, because I know I'm waffling on a bit, but I feel like if we're constantly comparing, like you said, to other people, that's just going to drain us. And if it's going to drain us, we're not going to have the impact, the success that we want. So if we, mate, that's what I mean.
No, mate, I think you that is such a good point, that we do want things instantly, don't we? We literally want things instantly. We're scrolling through Instagram and we see someone with a six pack and we go, I want that six pack.
Yeah.
But I don't just want that six pack. I want that six pack now.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you can't get it now, yeah, it creates anxiety. And then you start doing these crazy obsessive actions to try and get that now, as opposed to like sustainable actions over long periods of time. So no, I will ask you about this as well, mate. So obviously we spoke a bit about comparison, but what do you think about this whole term of like social media addiction? Because it's a term that like some people think is real. Like we all know like alcohol addiction, like alcoholism and drug addiction, they're real things. But what is your perspective on social media addiction? Like, do you think it's an actual thing, if you know what I mean? And 100%. Do you think you've ever struggled with it?
100%. I feel like in life, everything in life you can have addiction to. You can have addiction to chocolate. You can have addiction to exports. You can have addiction to success. You can have addiction to looking at lights. You can have addiction to going on walks in nature. Like, you can become addicted to anything, I believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get
to
addicted.
Some extent. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to some extent. And some addictions are healthy. Like, let's say your addiction is like go to the gym every single morning. That's addiction. That's something that it's a routine that you love. And if you don't have that in place, you have withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah.
So if you don't go to the gym every morning, you feel bad. You feel like you're not in control. And that's just like with social media, like you're saying, I get to your point. I definitely feel like there's social media addictions. I know I'm no expert in science, but I do know that when we scroll, our brain craves novelty. Our brains love things that are new. And every time we scroll down and see a new post, a new pair of shoes, a new holiday, someone new or do something well, that releases dopamine in the brain and we get addicted. Mm. And that's the same thing that happens with drugs. Like it's a constant burst of dope. It's just dopamine.
It stimulates the brain, doesn't it? And this is something, the reason I ask you this is because this is something I actually do have a big problem with. And I genuinely believe that like social media addiction and internet addiction and technology addiction is like a real thing. And it's weird because there's not a lot of things out there. And like there are a few groups out there and stuff, but compared to how many people like I believe have a social media addiction and have an internet or technology addiction, like there's not a lot out there and there's not a lot of like support for this sort of thing. And like, I think it's the same as anything. It's the stimulation. Like you can lose yourself. You can disconnect from yourself for, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day. And I think social media is similar. When we're talking about social media, it's got a similar relationship as you can have with TV,
yeah,
as you can have with the internet, but also a number of other things. But I think the closest is TV and the internet, and they all kind of affect your brain the same way. Yeah. And like there's a mental side of it where you just obsess over it and you just scroll and scroll and scroll. But like there's also a physical side of it as well. And I don't know if you've ever spent too long on social media or watching TV and like you can feel it, and like you can feel it in your body and you're tense and like you can feel it behind your eyes. And no, I definitely do think that it is a real addiction, you know?
Yeah, but what are some major struggles that you struggle with? I know you spoke a bit about them, but some like specific struggles that you really go through on a day-to-day basis with social media.
With social media, yeah. So I think it's compulsive scrolling, isn't it? It's compulsive. Mm. It's this action that we all do, but like it's healthy to a point. But you know, like if you don't set boundaries around it, which I find really difficult, is to set boundaries. Like I can spend hours and hours and hours, and before I know it, it's stupid o'clock, and now I've damaged my sleep, you know, because I just can't get off my phone. What about you? What sort of stuff do you kind of go through?
So I feel like I'm okay. If I was to run you through my day, it was I wake up and I don't go on my phone, and I'm happy that I don't, because I know we all know, like we've all heard that if you go on your phone first thing in the morning, you're reactive and you're not proactive.
Yeah.
So if you can disconnect from social media and you're not reacting, you take control of your day. And if you can control your morning, and you can build that foundation in the morning, your day will be set up for a good day. That's what they say. So for me, in the morning, I don't go on my phone. And then around 12 o'clock, I actually have on my phone, luckily with the new iPhones, you can put like a screen time thing on.
Mm.
So you can set a timer of, let's say for me, it's like 12 o'clock. And from 12 at night to 12 in the afternoon, I cannot go on apps. I can, if I go on there and I click, like, can I go on there for 15 minutes? It lets me do that. But it's like a reminder to not go on.
Yeah.
So from, yeah, to 12, that's on. And on 12, it comes off. And then I'm not throughout the whole day going on it. Like, let's say I'm doing some work or I'm learning. I'll do my learning, let's say, for example, for an hour. Then I'll have like a 10-minute break where I scroll. Or let's say, I've seen Jay Shetty do this. When he's working and he gets distracted on social media, he has like a sand timer.
Yeah.
And he turns it upside down. I don't know how long it is, probably like 2 to 5 minutes. And he allows himself to get distracted, watch videos for 2 to 5 minutes. As soon as that timer's up, he's back to work. I'm waffling a bit, but back to your question, like my struggles, personal struggles, it's mainly at night. So I feel like at night when your willpower and your
it's bandwidth drained. Yeah.
It's drained and you're tired, it's so much easier to go and eat that chocolate cake, to go eat that rubbish food, to go on your phone, get distracted, to compare yourself to other people. So my main main challenge, I know language is important, my main challenge is night, when it comes to nighttime, because I'm really trying to at the moment wake up early, and I feel like I really want to wake up. I know it's crazy, and it's at the moment for me it's fantasy world, but I really want to wake up at 5 o'clock, and because I just feel like all the best in the world, most of the best in the world, they wake up early, and that leaves clues. So I'm really trying to wake up early at the moment, but my main challenge is, like you said, getting distracted at night. I find myself scrolling through for no reason at all, and yeah, man, I just get, it's just like, well, mate, it's addiction.
It's interesting you say that about willpower and that you struggle most at night, because like if you look in any sort of like any text or any like spiritual text or any kind of thing that helps with addictions or anything, they all say that the human willpower just doesn't last out. Like if we actually had enough willpower, then none of us would have these addictions. None of us would do things that we don't want to do. Yeah. Like we do insane things that we don't want to do. Like, we know it's going to make us feel shit, right? We know eating that cake is going to make us feel shit, or going on our phone before bed's going to make us feel shit. But we, like, at least I do. I still fall into that trap every time.
Yeah, mate.
So that just shows, I believe, that willpower is not, it's not sufficient. It can't help us. So then it's kind of like, well, what can?
Yeah.
And it's something.
What do you think can?
Well, I think it's something greater than willpower. I think it's some sort of a routine or a practice or like a higher power, you know? And if you look in any of the 12 step groups or anything like that, they all believe in a higher power. So, you know, whether it's meditation or God or a routine or texting someone to say, look, I'm not going to go on my phone tonight. And then, like, it's something more than you. I don't know exactly what, but it's different for everybody. But it's something more than you, you know?
We haven't spoke about this, but because we spoke about, I mean, God and all that. Do you believe in, like, God and all that? What do you believe in? Do you believe in something?
I believe in a higher power, like something that's higher than me, something that's that's greater than me, and it's got more strength than me. And whether that's nature or it's people or it's like I don't know. I even feel now, like when I'm talking to someone that's not me, like I have more. I don't know. I can just think more clearly, if that makes sense. So I'd say that's my view on it. What's your view? Do you believe in something?
I've always believed in God since a child, but with me, I'm not Christian, but I believe in, like you said, someone who's all powerful and who is, who a higher power, let's call it that. So yeah, I believe in God, and we haven't spoken about this before, mate, but yeah, mate.
No, so do I. Like... And no, I think though, mate, like, it's really hard because everyone's got their own idea of what God is, you know, and some people are Muslim, some people are Christian, some people are Hindu, some people are Buddhist. I think it's hard. You can't like say, oh, these people are right and these people are wrong. But I feel like we all kind of have the same idea. It's just pervaded in a slightly different way and it's got different names, but it's this higher, it's something greater than us, you know? And I feel like that's really what all humans really, you know, that believe. It's what they all kind of believe in.
I think human beings need something to believe in.
Yeah.
You know, they need need something, whatever it may be. They need something to believe in to give them that hope to get through the day. You know, because I feel like we all go through struggle. that's part of the human nature, and we need something to believe in to get us through that. And I think it's all part of the plan of God, in my opinion. Not the plan of God, that's the wrong word, but I mean, it's we need someone to have some faith in.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Whatever you believe in, something or someone to believe in, to have that hope, to have to get up in the morning when your life's falling apart, but you still have hope. I think the right word's hope and faith in life or whatever you believe in.
You know, I think you make a really good point, mate. And I think how we can kind of put this in the context of social media, it's kind of like, well, if you say you don't want to go on your phone before bed,
yeah,
like you can set yourself like a time that you're then gonna set. So like you could set yourself a time that you're gonna put your phone down, for example, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So now it's not just your willpower, like you write it down somewhere and now it's out there. Do you know what I mean? It's not just in your head anymore. It's not just your willpower, it's out there. Mm-hmm. And then you could text it to someone, and you could text it to me and say, hey, mate, so at 9 o'clock tonight, I'm just committing this to you that I'm not going to use my phone after 9 o'clock.
Mm.
And then if you still do it, then like maybe then you need to put some, you know, there's like some more restrictions in place. But like that is basically the basis of pretty much every 12-step program and every addiction program. It's that you commit it to someone, whether you commit it to God or you commit it to someone else, or you write it down and you say, just for today, I'm going to put my phone down at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, mate.
And then you know what I mean? And you could even say that to me now. You could say, mate, just for today, I'm going to put my phone down at 9 o'clock. And you could text it to me, mate, and then you've committed it, you know?
Maybe we could do that.
We could do another episode and see kind of how we get on.
Yeah, but we can hold each other accountable. Maybe we could do that. So I feel like that really helped, because for me at the moment, this, I know we're speaking about social media, but I was talking about like, it's like holding people accountable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So with me at the moment, I know I was speaking about getting up early, and getting up early is part of social media, because if I'm on social media all night, I'm not going to get up early. So it comes together. So what I've made a, I don't know the right word, commitment. I found someone who's going to hold me accountable for getting up early. So I've actually told my mum, my brother, I'm going to give them £10 each this on Sunday, and they're going to keep it until Saturday. And if I don't get up at a certain time I've told them, they get to keep the money. Ooh, that's the sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty good.
It's a bit, because before I've tried to put down my phone at 9, I've tried to write to connect with, like, this is so important for me. But then when it comes to the night time when you go in bed, like we said, that willpower goes, so it just doesn't work. So I need something. I found out I need something that I'm gonna lose, which is money. And money is, I feel like my family, because we're not poor, but you're in a situation where money is like, we don't have a lot of money, but we're not broke. But money is very important to us, because it's scarcity.
Yeah.
So I've been, when I'm younger, I've been programmed from a young age that money, if we don't have money, we're going to be in big trouble. And that's been a lot. That's happened a lot in my life. Like, we haven't had a lot of money. I'm not saying we're broke, but it's been scary. So when I give someone money and I feel like I'm going to lose that taps into something deep within me, which will motivate me to get up early in the morning, if that makes sense. So I'm really trying to find something that I'm going to lose that money, and that's going to hopefully really motivate me to get up in the morning and benefit
mate,
myself.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Oh, mate, that is such a good idea. But then it's tough, but it's almost like that is the starting point. And then once you've done that for, I don't know, 2 weeks, like a month, although it's still then going to be hard, you're now in a habit. And then, like, once you formed a habit, it's like we said earlier, like, once you formed a habit, like, that is something greater than you. That's not your willpower anymore. Like, that is something that is stronger than willpower, you know? But it's that first bit, I think, is always the hardest. With anything you do, isn't it? It's the first bit, whether you're quitting drugs or you're starting to 100%. Run, you know? It's the first bit is always the hardest.
Yeah, man, I feel there's, you know, I like Robin Sharma.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, he's got like a quote, it's like, with habits, it's hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end. That's what he says. These are not my words. And obviously I won't go too deep, but what he means is when it's hard at first, you're actually, when you're trying to build a new habit, may that be us trying to come off social media or get up early, it's hard at first. So we're actually destroying our, if we try to do this new habit, we're actually destroying our emotional architecture, our neurobiology, our brain networks in our brain, our pathways, we're destroying them. That's not, it's hard. You're destroying your neural networks. You're destroying your neurobiology, your emotional architecture. That's the first stage. The second stage is, it's messy in the middle. So new pathways are being built. New emotional architecture is being built. That's the second stage. And the third stage is when you meet a point of automaticity, which, like you said, it becomes automatic. Yeah. It becomes a habit. And these new pathways, this new neurobiology is... it's in place and it now becomes easier. Now your willpower is freed up to instill a new habit. So yeah, mate, it's tough. At the start, like you said, at the start, it is flipping tough, mate. But
mate, I heard another quote and I am paraphrasing here. I don't know the exact word, but it was something along the lines of like, a bad habit is easy to do, but hard to live with. And a good habit is hard to do, but easy to live with.
Wait, so a bad habit is
hard, is easy to do, but hard to live with. And a good habit is hard to do and easy to live with.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
So like the bad habits are usually the easiest ones to partake in. Like you can whip out your phone you can whip out your phone now, or you can go and, do you know what I mean? It feels good at the time, but it's hard to live with. But good habits, they're hard to do. Like going out for, I don't know, a run or doing some meditation. It's much harder than just whipping out your phone. But it's so much easier to live with, you know?
Why do you think the brain's like that? The human brain, the human body.
Brain, it craves, it's designed, isn't it? It's very animalistic. And it's like, although the world has kind of evolved, the human brain hasn't evolved that much. Human brain still kind of... it craves instant pleasure because that was what kept it alive, 100%. You know, sex and things like that with the human body thought, well, I need to have sex to reproduce. If I don't reproduce, human race is going to die out, you know? Yes. So I need food because otherwise I'm going to die. Well, like now we don't need to go and get food. Like there's always food available to us. So I mean, our brain is still programmed to it for instant pleasure and instant gratification.
Madness. I mean, I listened to something the other day, I think it was, and it was a psychologist who works with sport athletes. I think it's called like Dr. Jarvis, but and he was saying that, I can't remember exactly what it was, but like you said, I'll paraphrase, it's our brains, like we actually have to try override our DNA. So our brain's like, it's evolved over so many years. And for us to, this brain is naturally programmed to search for negativity, for danger, because back 1,000 years ago or million, whenever we were on the savannah, if we were not scanning our environment for danger or a predator or what they call it, like the saber-toothed tiger or something like that, if we were not scanning the environment and looking for danger, we would die, we'd lose our family. Or if we didn't scan the environment for danger and see that mushroom or berry that will kill us, we would, like you said, we would become extinct. So our brain has been programmed like this for so many years, and now our brain's still like that today.
Except we live in a world now where we don't need to go out and hunt, and our life is not in constant threat, and we don't need to experience instant gratification and pleasure to stay alive, you know?
But do you know what a funny thing is? He says, well, but now that the modern day saber-toothed tiger is people's opinions.
Oh, wow.
And that is on, he was saying social media. So people's opinions. So scrolling through Instagram or views or someone doesn't like, that's apparently the new saber-toothed tiger, according to him, is we feel in danger. Mm. We feel threatened in a way, you know? We feel like that thing's going to attack us. But our brain doesn't know that it's just someone's opinion. We're getting told by the stimulus on the outside that we're getting attacked. Someone's opinion is going to hurt us or something like that. We're in danger. our brain.
Yeah, because other people would have also been a threat to us. Like you had other tribes.
Yeah, yeah.
And if
there
was another guy, right?
Yeah.
And he was more, you know, strong, and he was better looking than you. Then he could have came and he could have, you know, killed you, or he could have taken and kidnapped your wife, like your wife. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your mate.
Yeah.
And
but
now that's, you don't need to be like, someone on Instagram isn't going to kill you. And if they say something, give a comment on your photo, like, they're not going to kill you. They're not a threat to your life, you know, but yeah, it's
our brain,
it's interesting. Yeah. And we always seek, we search out for fear, don't we? And I think it links very strongly to the virus as well. How, like, when you're scrolling through social media, your brain is instantly going to be picking up on the fear because it's potential danger.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also said that we have to, with our smaller parts of our brain, I don't know what they were, but with the smaller parts of our brain, we actually have to try override our DNA, our ancient DNA, which is really tough to train our brain to search for opportunities and to be grateful. And it's
like
tough.
Our limbic system, our emotional brain. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have to train our smaller parts of our brains to search for opportunity, which is tough.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. So, right. So shall we come to the end of this episode in a minute then?
Yeah. Let's finish it. Let's finish it up. I mean, have you got anything else you want to talk about?
Well,
any points we want to cover before we do finish up? Anything you think is important we need to cover?
Well, I think the other thing about social media is how, like, it's all pretty similar, but it differs slightly. Like, each social media, I know we spoke about this before, how, like, each social media has its own, I feel like, specific challenges. And although they can be quite similar, like, there's different challenges on Snapchat, and Instagram's got different challenges, and Facebook's got different challenges. And kind of pick up on, like, what, like, how they differ, if that makes sense, and how, like, the impact of each network, I suppose.
I mean, we definitely will talk about this, but another thing I want to talk about off this is the benefit, like, how we can deal with it and benefits. Because I feel like we spoke a lot about what is going on, but maybe not our opinions on how we can benefit and deal with it. We spoke a little bit about it, but maybe some more tips and our thoughts on it. But I feel like we spoke about this before. I feel like with Instagram, it's very focused on followers. I feel like whenever I go on Instagram, or compared to other sites like Twitter or Facebook, it's not so follower focused as Instagram, which I spend most of my time on. So I feel like that's why I fall into the trap of like comparing how many followers, or is my follower going up or down. And I never catch myself doing that on any other social media site. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I think it's because, well, I don't know why, but my opinion is that there's very smart people who design these apps, and they've specifically designed these apps for people who get addicted to these apps, because that's how they make their money. That's how these apps survive. People have to use them. If people don't use them and people don't become addicted to them, they're not going to be a good app. So very smart people have actually designed apps for us to get addicted.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. They've manufactured them so they are addictive, because the more addictive they are, the more we use them, the more money they get. So
exactly.
But I think, similar for me, mate. Instagram, you care more about how many followers you've got. Snapchat is very much, it's more about what other people are doing, if that makes sense, and how other people spend their day.
Definitely agree with you. Definitely.
YouTube is quite, like, YouTube can actually be really good, I think YouTube can be really, really useful.
I use that all for, like, learning. I don't, you know what I mean? It's just,
No, I agree. Yeah, I do exactly the same. I find YouTube really good for learning and stuff. Twitter, I haven't really used Twitter, mate, but I think you gave a good example on it.
Twitter's quite hard, man. I don't know, it's a hard platform to, if you're looking to grow on Twitter, it's really hard to grow on, in my opinion. I mean, I haven't put all my focus into it, but I feel like Twitter, if you're, because there is loads of benefits with social media, like building a business, building a following where you're going to build your business, build your personal brand. There is so many benefits to social media. And that's why I feel like that's what people need to be using it for. So for me and you, it's to, well, for me, I can speak for myself, is to build personal brand, to try to build a business, build something out of it. But with Twitter, I think it's just more like you plant your thoughts, your opinions onto them, and people react to them. It's not really business-based. I feel like Instagram is the main one these days to grow a great business, a great personal brand.
I think Facebook's sort of like, in Instagram, it's very good for engagement, I think, and comments and stuff. But I think Facebook is really good for like quick growth. Like you put a thing out on Facebook and it can get shared and shared and shared and it gets quick growth. Yeah. Whereas on Instagram, it kind of, you need to put things out on a lot of different places and feed it back into one account. I think that's how people do best on Instagram. But they're all quite similar, aren't they? I think they're all I think they've got similar addictive components, and they have slightly different focuses, but I think they're all pretty similar.
Yeah, man, I think we should finish on some benefits and tips on how we best believe people can be dealing. Let's pick a person. Imagine we're thinking about someone who's really struggling and they're getting addicted like us sometimes. What are some tips that you think this person, what would benefit this person who's struggling with social media addiction, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm talking to myself here. I'm giving myself some advice, you know. This is something I struggle
same
with. Having like zones in your house, or at least times/zones in your house where like you don't use social media. So for example, I won't use it room after about 8:30, and I usually turn it off by about 8:30. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's one day at a time, you know. You just one day at a time. So that is the first one. That's quite a hard one though. I think another one is to delete the apps off your phone when you're not using them.
That's new.
Yeah, I think at least for me, like whenever I do that, like it shows me like when I actually want to use them. Like I think about downloading Instagram again. I'm like, well, what do I actually want to use Instagram for? And if it's like to post or to look at something specific, I'll download it. But if it's like, well, I don't know, I just want to scroll, then it's like, well, it kind of shows you how you're actually using it. And I think it gives you the wisdom like you need. I think you really need to understand your relationship with social media, and like that can be having some space away from it can be a really good way, I think. What about you?
100%, man. That's really wise. What about me? I would say you got to start somewhere. So I would say focus. Like I said, you got to start somewhere. So if I was to go out there, or this person we're talking to is struggling with social media, I was to tell them the whole day, don't go on social media. That's overwhelming. Yeah. So I think, like you said, social media zones. So in the morning, when you wake up, do not touch your flipping phone, you know what I mean? Just don't touch it. Put it somewhere, not in your room, just out of the way, so you're taking control of your day. So I would say, if you can master your morning and not touch your phone for the first hour or hour and a half, 2 hours, and you get that habit instilled, and you manage to do that, you focus on the morning. Once you've got that habit in place, it becomes automatic. Then you can focus on the afternoon or the evening. So I feel like breaking it down is the best way. So really focus on the morning. And then if you mastered that, or if you want to focus on the evening, firstly, master that. And once you've mastered that and installed that habit, then go on to the morning. But I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself right here, because I can talk all this, but I need to do it myself as well. So yeah, mate.
Yeah, no, I think, solid advice, mate. And
Should we finish off with
solid advice, mate. And something as simple, like if you want something really, really like that you can just follow now, is, you know, just tomorrow, don't go on your phone for the first 30 minutes after you wake up. And it just gives you, small as that, and it just gives you that little gap, I think, just to think.
Clearly. Yeah, mate. Definitely. Let's finish off these questions. You go first, bro.
Okay, so my question for you.
Yeah,
if you could change one thing about social media, and specifically Instagram, I'm aiming at, what would you change?
Okay. That is a freaking good question, mate.
That's a good question. So the first thing that came to my mind, which was just popped up, was don't show followers. And don't show followers, don't show likes, maybe show like, I don't know, but mainly don't show followers. So people, or for some people it's likes, just don't show followers or likes. So people just put content out there and they're not fearing if anyone likes it or not, or if people unfollow them or not. They just, you know, do what they love to do, post what they love, with no fear of what people will think of. If I post this, will I lose followers? Or if I post this, will I get a certain amount of likes? So basically remove being able to see how many followers
you've got. I mean, they have kind of done that with the likes, haven't they?
Have we done it?
Kind of, yeah. You can't see exactly how many likes. It'll just say...
Really? I can see it on mine.
Oh, yeah, you can see it on your own, but not other people can't see it. I think so, really? Yeah.
I don't even check that out.
I am so hot right now. It's boiling. I'm in a sauce, mate. Absolutely boiling. Right, go on. Get your question.
My question for you. It's changed, actually. It was going to be something earlier, but it's changed. So what is your ultimate goal with social media?
My ultimate goal?
What do you want to do with social media? What's your goal with social media?
I think it would be to, similar to what we're kind of trying to do here, it is to educate people about the potential addictive components to social media. Okay. I think it would be quite a cool ultimate goal.
So like, how would you know you've been being successful on social media?
I think... Yeah, I changed to get real, okay, real connections from social media, like similar to what we've done now. Nice. If it wasn't for social media, we wouldn't even be doing this right now. We wouldn't even know each other.
That's the benefit.
And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of social media.
Yeah, mate. I like that answer. Because so I feel like so many people would be like, my ultimate goal is to have 1 million followers. I mean, that would be nice, but yours is... connection with people.
I think if you're talking to my ego would be like, yeah, 1 million followers, do you know what I mean? Like, but no, it's when I'm calm and I'm thinking properly, that would be my goal.
Beautiful, mate. I think let's wrap up there. We've been speaking for a good like 45 minutes. So yeah, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that episode. It was basically me and Haleem speaking about our thoughts, being real with you basically, and sharing our struggles with social media, because we all struggle with something. And I know for me and Haleem, we have obsessive personalities. We do get addicted to certain things. May it be, if you listen to our other podcast, which I highly recommend you do, it's Haleem talking about the mental health and struggles with drugs. But me and Haleem, we have addictive personalities, and we just sharing our thoughts on our addiction basically to social media and how we think you can benefit from it if you are struggling with this as well. So yeah, mate.
Didn't script this one. We literally were just on the phone and we said, should we just, we were both talking about it, like, oh, you know, mate, social media is just shit, innit? And he was like, yeah. So we're just like, should we just give our honest thoughts on it on a podcast? So we were like, yeah. So yeah, this one just came from, we didn't script it or anything. It just sort of came up.
One last thought for people and for us as well. We are not saying social media is terrible, bad, all of it. It can be bad in certain situations. It is good if you're using it properly, and it can be very bad if you're not using it properly. But we're not trying to put a bad light on social media. It's just you have to use it wisely, like everything in life. But that's it for today. Like, this was real. This was not scripted, and I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Cool.
Man, I can skip out.
Okay. Cool. Now, nice. Mate, I've been absolutely boiling, mate.
Have you?
Oh my gosh, mate, I am sweating my cunt off.
Mate, I'm sweating a bit as well.
Oh my gosh, mate.
What's going on, people? Hope you enjoyed the episode with Haleem. It's just real, raw conversation, our thoughts on social media, our struggles, our personal struggles with social media, and some tips, some techniques, some tools to deal with the struggle. So yeah, if you did enjoy the episode, please share it, please like it. Yeah, so see you in the next episode.